Hi, welcome to our lunchtime date together with me, John Ballum. I am an organizational development consultant, I'm an educator, and I'm a coach with a passion for lifelong learning. With me today is my partner in crime, Gifty.
Hi everyone, I'm Gifty Parker, HR professional with a background in learning and development, performance management, as well as talent management.
So for the next 20 minutes, we invite you to sit back, find a glass of something nice, and enjoy an unusual conversation with us.
All right, here we go. Another beautiful Monday, John.
Yeah, absolutely, Gifty, and wonderful to be with you again.
Amazing to be with you. I'm actually quite interested in, you know, topics that we pick that actually kind of gives us the opportunity to deep, kind of think deep into our own personal lives, our own personal experiences. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So today's topic is one of those topics, you know, intrigues me. And it's like, yes, we have a topic that we can share more of our experiences with our listeners.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there are people out there, you know, who, having done the immigration thing and landed in Canada, I can tell you that I got some really great advice and I really benefited from that advice from people that had done it before. And I've always thought if I could return the favor somehow, you know, we can do that and we can make some of this information available to people. So maybe they don't bang their heads against the wall. You know, I banged some of my head against the wall, but I saw other people really smash into the wall and you don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it was on Saturday, just a couple of days ago, I just finished a class and I was walking to my car and there was this student who wanted to speak to me. She did mention that she would speak to me and I tend to move very quickly. I was like, do you mind walking with me? She was like, yes. And the entire walk was how frustrated she was that, you know, she has this experience that she's brought from her country as an international student and there's so many limitations and she's overwhelmed with the change, with the new environment, with all the courses she had to take, that she wasn't sure what would be that great or right first step. You know, so talking through that walk from the classroom to the car was so enlightening for her. And she was like, thank you, uh-huh. Thank you. Because people need this information, you know, and we forget that, you know. So having this topic, absolutely intriguing. So for our audience, our topic today is people on the move. So this particular episode, John and myself would love to share our stories, hoping that it's going to guide our listeners. Now, before we start with some of the questions and some of the areas we want to look at, I was very excited when I was reading a World Bank statistics on, you know, people and the way they move. So World Bank and McKinsey and Global Institute, they created this analysis of immigrants. And according to the report, the global immigrant impact and opportunities includes about 247 million people who live outside their country of birth.
Wow.
And out of this huge number, they've actually indicated that 35% of these people are highly skilled immigrants. And they're highly skilled and they've migrated either through education or through work placements. So I find this topic really relevant, very, very relevant, because the top 10 migrant destination is Canada. Canada is number 8 in terms of the top 10 location that immigrants actually go to. So we do hope our listeners will enjoy the insights we're going to bring to this particular topic and, you know, share their feedback with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And questions, right? Very interesting.
Yes, and questions. We actually have some questions from our end as well. But just before we go into our questions, John, what do you have to share in terms of, you know, people moving around, people going from one country to the other? You know, based on our experiences, we are actually here in Canada as immigrants. So what is your insight on this particular topic?
So I think we are dealing with a very highly mobile workforce, increasingly so among young people. And I think working in several different countries is not a strange thing anymore. It's going to become the norm for people. And I'm not just talking about people at the very highly skilled end of the workforce. I mean, in Canada here, there's a whole bunch of people who fly over from India every year to work in the fields here as farmers. You know, so it's a global phenomenon. And part of that presents, I think, very exciting opportunities. Because when we move into other cultures, boy, it pushes against our socialization. It pushes against sometimes what we think is right, our values, and it provides us with opportunities to grow as human beings and develop our emotional intelligence. It's no use saying the culture you move into is all wrong. You might not agree with something, sure, but you've got to take a step back and say, well, what made my culture so right? I came from, you know. Those are difficult questions, and they're great questions because they force us to look at ourselves and reevaluate how we see the world. And I think one of the most profound things we can do is to call ourselves into question throughout our whole lives in a compassionate way to say, am I seeing this correctly? Am I really?
I love that.
Really,
I love
what's
that.
Real?
Yeah. And that's a big one that not everybody is able to do that. Like I always even say, I say to people, I actually see that, put that under the category of being open-minded. That open mind, that, you know, the ability to recognize that, yes, you're in a new environment. And with this new environment also requires you to learn and understand how they do things. Why is that different? Yes. And it's a two-side to it as well. Because you can also get that opportunity to showcase your own culture, what else is all about as well. So it comes to be, you know, too, and I've met people, John, who are so closed-minded. You know, it's impossible to want to take in anything else in the new environment. There is that expectation that it's basically this particular mindset that I have that I'm also going to continue with in this new environment. And that kind of creates a lot of challenges for people like this.
Yeah, I think part of that, Gifty, is, you know, people often say to me, when you came to Canada, what was the most difficult thing? Mm. Now, the most difficult thing actually were the many little things that all added up to be. So, yes, it's a lovely culture and it's got amenities and everything works here. But you know, how does your money work in the soup? You know, when you got change, what does all that change mean in your hand? How does the public transport work? So there's all these little adaptations you've got to make. When you go into the shops, they're not the same as your shops at home. And those all add up to actually quite a chunk of stress, right? And it's then very easy to start not recognizing that and then say, oh, it's those people, or it's that boss of mine, or it's that, and project it against one or two things, when then you're actually missing the boat, because it's sometimes these many little things, how to drive, you know? And I don't mind telling our listeners, you know, I drove on the left-hand side most of my life. I came here in my 50s. Now I'd had to drive on the right-hand side of the road. One Saturday night, my son driving up the road at me, he said, Dad, what are those headlights coming towards us? I was on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, autopilot, such those things.
And, you know, talking about that, being open as well, it kind of helps being open and being flexible. Because I always say to people, even when I give you a recommendation that worked for me, it doesn't mean that that will work for you. Right. You know, that idea, that need, you know, to be curious and be flexible with things that are thrown at you also goes a long way as well. Because I've told people in the past that when I came into the country, one of the first things I did was join an association so that I could connect with like-minded individuals who are in their profession. So that was really helpful for me because that's me. I like that connection and I like to learn how I can grow. And as I mentioned to the person, in your case, figure out what it is that your career path is, and then you can do something quite similar. And I gave an example of some of the things I did within the organization, like volunteering. And I always remind them, you could do more than that. This is just an example. You know, your case, you may not have an opportunity to volunteer, but then you can ask yourself, what else can I do? Mm-hmm. You know, how else can I engage with other professionals in the line or the career that I want to do or my career aspiration? So yeah, that comes to be really big as well because people just want you to give them the formula. And I always try to say, there's no one formula.
Right.
You know, you have to be flexible with, you know, the things that are thrown to you, the situation.
Yes. And it also, you know, on that score, Gifty, is it also depends. Some things are just generic relative to the life stage one's in. So I came here in my later middle age. And now in any society, not just Canada, people in their later middle age are established. They have established groups of friends. They have established communities they're in. They've got it mostly sorted, right? So they're not looking for new friendships. It's not like a 22-year-old or 17 or 19-year-old at just out of school or at college, right? And so breaking in or finding acceptance within that community, it takes a lot more work because people already have these relationships. Now, you know, some people didn't say, oh, the Canadians are unfriendly and unwelcoming. It's not that. You go anywhere in the world and being 50 years old plus with a big family and trying now to connect in with other families, not going to be so easy, right? It just is, right? So we got to separate out sometimes, okay, this is not this culture. This is just, these are the generic patterns of moving around and this is what happens. And how do you deal with these life stages as you move country to country?
Yeah, I agree with you, that statement. I've had a colleague of mine who moved to Canada right about the same time. And, you know, we kind of connected. We did lose connection because, like Gifty, I always have 10,000 things on my plate. But it was very sad when she emailed me and told me she was leaving the country because she just felt she wasn't connecting with people. You know, people had this culture. So I'm talking about British Columbia now, where it's all closed, you know, closed relationship, and she was struggling to, you know, connect. Mm-hmm. And I felt quite sad, you know, to hear that. But I also kind of realized that we're all different. Some people come from a background where, you know, the relationship is open and extended, and they have that free opportunity to connect with people, relate to people on a personal level, beyond the professional. And it was just very important for me to sort of later understand that the way you have that, they have their fears, or they have what's important to them over here. So we have to try to be open and find a way, like a common ground. You know, sometimes your integration doesn't have to be that full one, but you could just find a way to find things that will work for you while you're still living in the particular area. You're still able to practice those things that are important to you, whereby also embracing the way things are. So that acceptance is where I'm going now.
Yes.
You know, that acceptance, it goes a long way as well to help people to stay, integrate well, you know, fit into the way of living in their new environment.
I agree.
Yeah.
So for you, Gifty, can I ask you, and you can ask this of me, okay? I realize this question might come right back. So maybe for our listeners, take three things that obstacles you faced when you came here, and what you practically did to overcome those obstacles. So you mentioned one already, so maybe I'll let you off the hook for one of them. You talked about your professional.
So now I can go with two.
You can go with two, right? Yeah. And, you know, it's quite interesting. You're a woman as well, so you maybe want to comment on that, you know, in your profession maybe. What are the obstacles that you think, okay, I remember that, and this is what I did to overcome them? Because let's face it, we both made it, right? I'm 8 years down the road here, and, you know, I'm happy, right? It's worked.
You know what, to be very honest, I think a big obstacle, I can think, thank God you only said two, because I can only think about two.
That's okay.
One of them was job placement, getting a job coming to Canada. And the other one was understanding and embracing the fact that people don't know what I've done prior to coming to Canada.
Uh-huh.
And the ability for me to be able to showcase my work and be recognized became important as well. So going with the first one, job placement, when I came in for the first year, I dedicated it to volunteering and not working because I took a career break for 1 year and Canada was my destination place. So I stayed in Ontario. It was beautiful. I had a great time supporting my family and volunteering.
Right.
Moving to BC, I came for my second master's in adult education at UBC, University of British Columbia, and I couldn't find a job. Now, there were so many limitations to finding a job. One, I was a student. I couldn't work full-time because I was an international student. And the other one is the type of roles that I was interested in, it was very impossible for me to be placed in those roles because I didn't have any Canadian experience. So what I did with this challenge was I did not let that hold me back. I wanted to learn, okay, what is this Canadian experience? How is it different from the experiences that I've had? So, like I said, I joined the association. But aside that, too, while I was at the association, while I was learning, I was putting my learnings into place. So I started doing consulting. Consulting where it wasn't a charged service. It was more of a, that service to ensure, to check that I was actually applying what I was learning, applying all these recommendations. So I started my business in 2015, but it was mostly transferring my knowledge through my website. So it was posting articles every day, sharing my insight with those articles. And when I connect with professionals and I have conversations with them, I write a blog about it. I write a blog about my experience. So I was doing something. Yes, it wasn't bringing me that financial aspect that I wanted, but it was very good for me to find a way to break that barrier that I had where I couldn't get a job placement. Yeah, I did get some other casual roles along the way, but I was building on my experience. I was building on what I was getting, which takes me back to the second challenge, which was that recognition, where when people talk to me, ideally you want to go on a website to learn about the individual. So I had that recognition because I could showcase what I had. So I tell people, don't be afraid to show people what you have. It could be through your resume, it could be through your interview, because you're new to this environment. They don't know what you've done prior. Of course, you've done something in your country. Always think, how can I show these individuals what I can do? So that why me statement. So I spent first 2 years of my time here creating that, establishing that, you know, through my studies, through my writing, through my research, through my blog, through my website. It was really important for me to find a way to express myself, express my professional opinion, and of course, showcase what I could do. So those were two challenges that I had, because it was not easy to get a job and not easy to show people what I do, but I was able to, you know, go ahead through that. So even my job today is based on referrals, because people see what I've done and they refer me. So it was really important for me to get that recognition.
Yeah. Yeah. And consultant is a referral game, you know, it's a high, yeah, it's a high product, you know, purchase. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Well, I'm going to throw that question back at you, John.
Okay. So
challenges.
Okay. So the challenges. So the first challenge I faced, like many immigrants, was obviously getting a job, right? And I didn't have the luxury of, at that stage, any sort of big financial backing. We arrived here with two suitcases each, and I was we had 3 months' salary in the bank. And I had two kids. I had one son who was out of school, and I had two school-going children, plus my wife. And I was the breadwinner, right? So getting that job. And so one of the things that really helped when we got here to just ground us, first of all, is we had established a friend here before we left South Africa, a South African friend who had moved here. His name is Hans Kuchenberg, and he was hugely helpful in helping us as a family just adjust ourselves, you know. So we could go around. We went around for many meals at their house over the weekends and just shared the immigrant story. He'd only been here and his family 1 year ahead of us, right? But already that 1 year's worth of knowledge, 1 year's worth of where to go and find this, how to do this, right? And just being able, it was to hang with your fellow countrymen, somebody who you could just talk to in a way where you could be immediately understood, was huge. Yeah. So that was one thing, was that community that him and his family provided for us. And, you know, like we said at the one of our early podcasts, what happens at work happens at home and vice versa. You know, you cannot just split these two worlds. So that kind of stabilized us hugely and having that. So that was one thing, was having a person I could go and talk to. The next thing that really worked for me was when I eventually broke into the Canadian workforce and got in there, was finding a Canadian friend, right? So I realized, you know, if I just hang out with my countrymen, and I'm not going to Canadianize, right? I'm going to, you know, just carry on perpetuating the norms. And in every immigrant situation, there are bunches of people like this in all countries in the world, who expats, who insulate and isolate themselves from the culture they are in. Right? It's just a human thing, right? And they don't progress in that culture. They stay in their little cultural enclave, and they don't step outside of that. And particularly in the workplace, you know, I needed somebody who could translate, okay, between my world and this is Canada. And so with the college we both were at, there was a friend of mine there, well, it became close friends, Conrad. And I found we became such close friends, of course, that people used to call us John Rad eventually. We're always together, you see. And I looked around the workplace and thought, okay, I could be friends with him. I targeted him. I mean, I would be brutal about it. I targeted him. I said, let's go for coffee or a beer. And we found a really strong connection. And that was huge. That was so huge in helping me understand. Because I could then be honest with them. I could say, look, you know, I want to say something like this, or I want to do this. Would this be acceptable or appropriate in Canada? You know, and fine-tune how I related in the workplace or related to other people. And also what he helped me understand too was, you know, some things I thought maybe were Canadian weren't Canadian. They were just, for example, bad workplace practice, you know, it occurred, right? So, you know, nothing to do with Canada, but because I'm an immigrant, you're looking all the time, scanning, right? You're in high alert. So he helped me separate that out. And I'm going to tell the story because it's funny and it's also quite indicative of what can happen in the immigration thing. So one of the things that happened, of course, was that the college was in downtown and we had some people come into the toilet one day and want to shoot up some stuff, you know, because it was there. And now, again, that was different from my culture. All colleges had high security, so like security guards and everything. But anyway, this drug addict ended up in the toilet and the director said, you get the drug addict out the toilet, please. So because I'd come from a much more aggressive, much more violent, dangerous culture, I picked up a piece of plank, a piece of 2x4, and started walking down the corridor thinking, if this guy, you know, does anything, you know, I'm going to club him, you know, because that's I came from that kind of space. And he grabbed me and he said, no, John, let's show you the Canadian way to do this. So I said, well, I'm still holding on to this, okay, because I didn't
believe. Just in case.
And he walked up to this guy and he said, look, it's a building, you know, please be asking. This guy said, I'm very, very sorry. And he walked out, you know. Now, you know, no handcuffs, no, you know, violence, you know. Now, that was quite new to me to see that kind of thing. It was a huge difference to the culture I'd come out of, right, of, you know, people being really out of control on the drugs sometimes and doing crazy things and leading really hard to be manhandled. So, I mean, that's a very dramatic example, but it does show that we all need a go-between, right? And so that, and yeah, then somebody we can trust our hearts to and say, look, this is how I perceive this or want to do this. And they'll say yes or no, you know. So that would be the second thing for me. And that was that it was huge in overcoming the cultural understanding how things went. Yeah. And then the third thing was something you mentioned, and I'm really glad you mentioned it. And I'm just, it's, you know, say it in other words here. But when I came here, I felt, okay, I come from this, you know, developing world country. I'm coming to this big first world country. Maybe, you know, they know a whole lot more than me, which, and in some contexts they possibly do. But I kind of like, I put my own skill set on the back burner, right? I kind of thought, well, you know, I've got to go quietly, softly, softly. And then I began to realize, for example, I have certain skills that Canadians actually really value. So for example, I love community. I love team building. I like bringing people into community and creating a sense of togetherness in the workplace. So we're not all isolated individuals that come in and walk out and don't know each other. Because that was very important in South Africa. We put a lot of energy and time into that. So but I realized I had the skill at a reasonably high level. And then eventually I had the boldness to begin to start practicing the skill. I thought, okay, maybe this workplace, people like this. It's a multicultural workplace. People want to be included, want to get to know each other. So yeah, so that was another thing that was very big for me, was to say, actually, I mustn't like take all my skills and they don't apply. Yeah. Some of them I need to be modified and polished up a bit or changed. I get it. But I have some skills which other people really value, you know, and some of those skills were because of the cultural context that came from and I developed them in that culture. So it's not like we've got to throw away who we are or what we are.
Not at all. And you know, that brings me to actually emphasizing some of the things we've said, because you wouldn't have known that skill that you have that is valued by the new sort of that is valuable to the new setting that you're in.
Right.
If you weren't open to exploring, if you weren't open to looking. And that is so important. You know, we are very comfortable with what we know. We're very comfortable with people we know. And we forget that need to integrate, that need to connect, that need to, you know, learn more about this new environment and see how exactly do you fit in the new environment. So that was, yeah, I love that. And I am actually one of those that enjoyed or benefited hugely from your ability to create a community from team of professionals. So I would say that was a great thing, because I always, if we had an event, I knew John had something under his sleeves that everyone was going to enjoy. So that was really, that was lovely. I remember there was this particular event, there were drums and people could play with the drums. I was actually one of those that enjoyed that.
Great stuff. Yeah. Drawing, yeah, it was very important that, yeah. It was a very special event that, yeah.
Until next time, this is Gifty Parker and John Ballen.
Remember, during your busy week ahead, stay good, stay true, and stay beautiful.
Bye-bye.